So I think that, to me, frames where we are at this point. There's a lot that we could elaborate on. And if anybody would like to have any comments, add to this, rebut, or raise questions, I'd appreciate that.
Can we go to
Peter? Yes. Okay, yeah, I'd like to introduce Peter Matthews. He teaches at Cypress College in Orange County. And he's one of the authors of a new initiative to tax the oil companies in California.
I can relate. I'm sorry. Who is the speaker?
Jessica Tall. The UAW speaker, Jessica Tall, had a family emergency, so she couldn't make it there. So the speakers have been George Wright, who's a professor at Skyline College, and Peter Matthews, who's the initiator of a tax initiative for oil extraction and finance education.
Yeah, I was just going to be the moderator. I didn't know I had to give a talk.
Okay, good morning, brothers. How are you doing today? It's a critical situation, as you know, not to be repetitious, but we appreciate Professor George Wright. It happens that he and I were actually in Berlin back in '89 on a tour. We just finally connected again once again.
Exactly.
So history doesn't always repeat itself when we like it to, but I'm glad it did, so we're here. But let me just say that even that great paragon of democracy, as some people think, as Thomas Jefferson, you know, leaving the slave owner. Thomas Jefferson once said, "I know of no safer repository of power than the people themselves. If on occasion the people make the wrong decision, we must not take power away from the people, but we must inform them toward the right decision." And in a sense, there was some seedling there of public education. And I believe Jefferson did try to establish some kind of a tuition-free system at the University of Virginia for those children of the working, white working class who didn't have money to pay for it. And we have the other example that, you know, we talk about Lincoln, these are all bourgeois politicians, but Lincoln said that labor is prior to capital. Capital would not have existed unless labor had first existed. And therefore, labor deserves a higher consideration. And that's what's going on right here. A complete reversal of even those beginning sentiments toward more democracy, where the working people of this country have been devastated with public education. My students at Cypress College are dropping out left and right. They cannot afford to pay the $26 a unit, which in the fall will go up to $36 a unit. And Professor Wright, you mentioned you paid $7.
50 cents.
And 50 cents at community college back in the 60s, I believe. Governor Schwarzenegger paid $6 for all 15 units at San Monica College because it was tuition free education. And Governor Pete Wilson paid $37 at UC Berkeley Law School to go through all 3 years of law school. So that concept of every human being having the right to fully develop their human potential, their critical thinking skills, and their scientific and mathematical skills to help build a better society and a more advanced society technologically, so we can be free from the drudgery of human labor and truly live in what Marx talked about as a superstructure, where we can all be involved in poetry and art and philosophy and those kinds of endeavors of truly human existence. That was the beginnings of that was starting to creep in here into our capitalist system with social democracy, when came to education. And yet everything's been rolled back now horribly. So that's why I got together with friends of mine. Dr. Paul Garber is a medical doctor, who, by the way, Dr. Garber paid $200 for all 15 units of medical school for 700 years of medical school at UCLA. $200 a semester at UCLA medical school in the 70s. And then Frank Dowager, another co-author, went to UCLA for his bachelor's degree and paid very little compared to what they're paying today. And he also went on for his master's at Cal State Long Beach. So three of us got together and decided it's time now to take power in our own hands, the hands of the people of California. We cannot rely on these politicians anymore. We've been basically, a lot of them bought out by the oil companies, by the corporations, the campaign contributions. We took it into our own hands to take on what Governor Hiram Johnson had offered us years ago, the initiative process to be able to write the bill ourselves, and to bring in input and advice from other groups. We contacted CTA back in March when we were first writing the initiative, proposing it. We contacted initially the CTA, the CFT, and asked them, "What do you think about this? Can you come aboard and support this and certainly give us your input?" We didn't hear from the leadership in Sacramento and also Oakland. And so we continued to write the initiative with the help and input of students and of professors on the ground and teachers in elementary school. We brought them in and helped them get their input on how this bill should be written, the specifics of it, the philosophy behind it, and the basic work was done back in March. So we submitted in April or so to the Attorney General, And 2 months later, we're on the road getting signatures. So we have about 2.5 months left to get signatures to put this on the ballot. I'd like to mention something about the internal politics of the progressive movements. We need to come together. Progressive leaders of all stripes, all tendencies, need to come together on this because it's a small step, but a significant one in the direction of redressing the imbalance between capital and labor. Those oil companies do not own this resource. This is nature's resource put here for human beings to use, I believe, collectively. And yet, they've been taking for 107 years, the corporate-owned oil companies in California have been taking the oil out of our ground and paying no severance taxes. Alaska, Texas, and 25 other states that are major oil producing states all have a severance tax. Alaska's is 25%, which Sarah Palin brought in herself, 25%. A Republican legislature voted that in, severance tax in Alaska. Texas brings in $2 billion a year, and it goes straight to education there. If those wonderfully so-called progressive states, I'm calling them the Republican states, are able to do this and recognize that the oil belongs to all of us and it should go toward public education, then we can do it here in California. And that's what we did. So progressive people of all different tendencies need to come together on this one issue, take part of nature's resource, and collectively use a portion, a small portion. We're only asking for 15%. 15% of billions of dollars after 100 years of giving it away free, to bring in $3 billion or more a year. That's what it'll bring in. It'll bring in actually $1.09 billion for K-12. We have allocated about $1.5 billion for community colleges and about $400 million each for UCs and CSUs. And we had to kind of work that out proportionally to figure out who gets what and how and why. And we figured that the community college students are the least funded. They get about $5,000 a year per pupil. K-12, which is still underfunded, gets about $7,000 to $8,000 a year per pupil. And UCs and CSUs are getting about $10,000 a year and $15,000 a year, and they are also woefully underfunded. We're all way underfunded. We figured we got to put this thing together and get some proportionality out of it, and ultimately we need to go to the legislature, of course, and force them to stop, to kick their habit off of corporate power, give up corporate lobbying money, and run for office grassroots without corporate money, get elected, and that's a big challenge in the capitalist system, do it that way. But we've got to get the legislature straightened out and bring that money in the general fund. But our initiative was written in order to bypass the general fund. We have required in the initiative a couple of provisions. One provision is to, this money comes directly into an educational competitiveness fund that is then administered directly by the treasurer of California, who is of course an elected official. And the treasurer has to write the checks as this money comes in on a monthly basis from the oil companies. We make sure we sidestep the general funding. The general fund is being used for corporate purposes, obviously, mostly, and all the social programs are being cut in the general fund. We set up a separate fund, public fund, controlled by and administered by the treasurer, who's an elected official, which has some public accountability, and that'll bring in over $3 billion a year. As the price of barrel of oil keeps going up, it's over $100 a barrel today, from just a few, $90-something a few days ago, and that more money comes in each time. And that money can go, and it has to go for non-capital expenses, it's for educational expenses, for bringing back and restoring classes that were cut, class sections that were cut, for rehiring part-time instructors and professors who've been laid off, and teachers in K-12 who've been laid off, rehiring them, and bringing back the kinds of opportunity for working middle class and working poor students to be able to have a chance in life. That's how we wrote it. We've also written that this fee cannot be passed on in the form of higher gasoline prices, and it's suspected that they're doing so. The Attorney General is mandated by this law. The Attorney General is mandated to open up the books of the oil companies and tax them accordingly, and return that money in rebate checks to all of us individually in California. So we put some teeth in this law, and I would really like to find out why some of the progressive leadership in the unions have not supported like they should. And I'm speaking specifically of the teachers' unions. I must say, the CCA, which is part of CTA, the Community College Instructors that I'm part of, CCA, has endorsed the initiative. They gave us about $8,000 to pay for 200,000 legal-sized petition documents which we have here. 5 signature slots each, so we've got 1 million signature slots paid for already, and we've been distributing them across California, and you can have copies yourself. So the CCA has come aboard. It's time now that the CTA leadership come aboard, and the rank and file in CTA is with us. I mean, the OEA in Oakland, for example, wearing your button proudly. OEA leadership, Betty Olson-Jones, and several other people there have come aboard 100%. They've opened up their office to distribute petitions there. The AFT 2121 here in San Francisco City College has come aboard, and they opened up their office, and United Teachers Richmond as well as many places in Southern California. Our strategy is to get these community colleges and university students to organize on campuses. And this is an organizing tool for left progressive change, to bring about a truly equitable system of taxation, which is a minimum that we can do in the capitalist system. The You know, we don't move to social democracy soon, this system is going to crumble, as you know, it's already started to. And education is the foundation of this. So thank you so much. I've stopped talking right now. I'm not a politician. I talk way too much and do too little. So I'm here to listen to you. If you'd like to raise some questions, we'll also have Dr. George White.
Also, the Labor Council is having a meeting tomorrow at 5 o'clock. There's a progressive taxation committee, and everyone's invited to participate on this discussion. But I want to make one just now, a couple of comments. In the last election cycle, there was George Lakoff had an amendment for a majority vote, which would have changed the Constitution in California to allow for an increase in taxation and revenue with a majority vote instead of a two-thirds vote. The California Federation of Teachers, Hittleman, who was the president, decided they didn't want to support that. Instead, they wanted to support John Burton's constitutional amendment, which is that you just have to have a majority vote to have a budget in California, which has meant that they did pass a budget, but it's a punitive budget of increased fees for community colleges and state colleges. The California Federation of Teachers spent $750,000 to get that on the ballot. $750,000. The California Federation of Teachers has put $0 for an initiative to tax the oil companies to raise revenue for education in November. So in other words, they put a money, $750,000, for an initiative that has not changed the fact that they're getting budget cuts. In fact, the cuts have increased. They refuse to put money down to actually get this initiative on the ballot. And lastly, if this initiative does get on the ballot, and we fight to make sure that it does, it will probably pass. Because the people of California are angry at the oil companies and want them taxed. So it has a good chance of passing in California. Yet the crisis is, why are the unions, the California AFL-CIO, the California Federation of Teachers, the CTA, refusing to actually have an initiative? Their argument has been that we have to wait until 2012. This is what they said. We have to wait until November 2012 to have initiatives as far as taxation. Well, $200,000, according to Marty Hillman, 200,000 students will have to drop out of community colleges because of the raising of fees this year. So we're talking about a disaster, and I think the strategy has been that the Democrats, Jerry Brown, will solve our problem. There was a progressive taxation conference sponsored by the Progressive Taxation Committee of the San Francisco Labor Council. Lenny Goldberg was there with Southern Island Local 34. At that conference, Lenny Goldberg said that Jerry Brown did not want to fight the oil companies now. That he was afraid of going against them, because if he went against them, they would throw money against his plan to have revenue increases, regressive revenue increases in his budget. Well, that is kind of the ideology of Jerry Brown and the Democrats. We don't want to fight the oil companies. That's exactly what this ballot initiative will do. So let's open it up for questions, comments.